If you have your Bibles with you, I have a couple of things that I want to get going while the students are heading out. And I'm not going to try to fly through this intentionally, but there were some things that were laid on my heart for today. And we've just had tremendous testimonies today. And so, you know, the message that I had prepared, I had been able to whittle it down to about 90 minutes. And now I have to whittle it even further. But I just want to deposit some things in your spirit today as we have some time. Grace Fellowship Church, I am just constantly blown away by the love that you have for serving this community and serving the people within the body of Christ. The contact that we've had over the last 6 days of how is the youth ministry doing? Do they have everything that they need? A couple of people within our church have some specific needs and some trials that they're going through. And you're reaching out and saying, you know, how is this person? Is there anything that I can do? What is there a need here that I can meet? And it has just been amazing to see that as we come into a season that we call Thanksgiving, a series that I have put together called "I Have a Thankful Heart." I'm just going to touch on a couple of these, Carrington. You can go ahead and begin the slideshow, but we're going to kind of highlight a few things. But something that really has stood out to me is that when we get into a place of being able to say that I am a follower of God, I have given my life to Jesus Christ, something really, really incredible happens, is that there is an anticipated response from that. That God actually looks at us and says, if you are a follower of Christ, then this is the very expectation that I have for you to follow me and to serve me. And one of the greatest examples of that, I actually had an opportunity to share at my daughter's chapel on Wednesday, and it's one of my favorite examples, and I felt like it led nicely into a few things that I wanted to share with you this morning. It's from the tiny little book of Philemon. I've touched on this with you as a congregation a number of times, but just in case you haven't heard it from me before, there's this gentleman by the name of Philemon. He has a slave, Onesimus, that escapes from him. Onesimus apparently gets arrested, and when he gets arrested, he ends up in prison with Paul. And if you know anything about Paul, if you came in any kind of contact with him, very shortly after that interaction, you were saved and born again and loving Jesus for the rest of your life. And so Paul had an amazing prison ministry that he probably had no idea that's what he was entering into when God met him when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. But so what happens is that Onesimus, an escaped slave, comes in contact with Paul and he gets saved. That's an amen. That's an awesome thing. But also during that time, something that we don't have a lot of background on is somehow Philemon also comes in contact with Paul, either in one of his missionary journeys or some thing like that. And Paul actually is the one who prays and leads Philemon to the Lord. And it's amazing when you think of what's going on with Paul in prison and all the missionary journeys that are going on. He had personal one-to-one contact with somebody and then also had personal one-to-one contact with that person's slave in prison. I mean, you talk about the odds and the probability. That is something that I just can't even wrap my brain around, is that here is Paul doing all the stuff that he's doing, and in walks a slave, and then he has this relationship. And he has a relation so much so that the correspondence that he sends to Philemon becomes a letter in the Bible for us. So we're talking about something that is very, very important. And what I wanted to take a second for us to look at, and like I said, this particular part is something that's going to kind of shoehorn quickly into some things I want to share with you this morning, is that Paul is making a request from Philemon to forgive Onesimus for running away from him. And then he says, what you need to recognize is that Onesimus has given his life to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a few people in my life that I knew them before they gave their life to the Lord, and I know them now. Maybe you know some people that have dedicated their life to the Lord, and we're looking for and believing that our relationships are going to grow in some way that we can see a notable difference. We say, there is something different about this person. And Paul, what he does with Philemon is he appeals to that transformation. He appeals to that change. And I just want to read one section for you. If you want to pull it up, it is in Philemon. There's no chapters in Philemon. It's just one letter that's there. And so it's Philemon, and I'm going to start in verse 19. And what happens is that Paul says, you have had this interaction with God. I was with you when you gave your life to Jesus. Therefore, what I expect, this is something that's very important. Paul is going to be speaking to him in first person. And he's saying, what I expect is for you to conduct yourself as someone who has given their life to Christ. He doesn't even appeal to you're standing before God and God is going to judge you one day. Watch how personal this challenge is for Philemon as he's receiving this person, who, by the way, from what we understand in the letter, Onesimus is actually the carrier of this letter. So look at what he says. He says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. Say nothing of you owing me even your own self. In verse 20, he carries on the same thought. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Now, come on, church, that's not something that we often hear about when somebody gives their life to Jesus Christ. Or I've actually had the wonderful opportunity of praying with people and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. I haven't come across them a couple of years later and said, hey, I want some benefit from you giving your life to Christ. Just, you know, that's something that I haven't ever taken that big leap to do. But watch what Paul is doing. He is appealing to the transformation. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then I expect there to be a different response when you see this person who has wronged you standing before you. And I was sharing that with the Christian Life Academy on Wednesday, and I know that I've touched on this in various times in messages, and one of the reasons is because it's so far for me the only time that I see in Scripture where Paul just takes the transformation and makes it so personal that we are different because Jesus is in our lives. And not only are we different, but those around us, there is an anticipation that we would handle different circumstances differently. And so I wanted to look at that section with you to see that if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then there are things that you can be extremely thankful for, even in the darkest hour, even in the most lonely of moments, even in the times when it seems like you are utterly alone, that there is a point at which we can say, I have a thankful heart. I think of all the times, even in the Old Testament, when there were various challenges that were going on with the different characters that were involved in the story of God and the story of Israel. How many times did Moses feel frustrated with his own people? And even the act of Moses disobeying a directive from God and striking a rock when he was only supposed to speak to it, and then also not being able to go into the promised land. There were some things that if you looked at it objectively with me, you would say, that wasn't Moses' fault. He shouldn't be punished because the people were being stupid. But I have to see something that as a follower of Jesus Christ, for Moses, if we want to keep it in the Old Testament, as someone who has devoted their life to God, we are supposed to respond in various circumstances differently. We are. I want to read to you from Colossians. Like I said, I'm keeping a close eye here. We're going to not keep it too long here because we've had just wonderful testimonies And I feel like we've had a message in and of itself by hearing what God is doing here. But in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12, Paul writes this. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." If you were here, we're going to pause here for a moment. If you were here last week, the first part of the message was that Jesus was actually invited into a Pharisee's home, and the Pharisee was actually hoping to kind of make a mockery of who Jesus was, inviting him in and saying, "Well, if you're a prophet, then you would be able to discern this particular circumstance." But something that really stands out here that connects with last week is that Jesus told him a story that led him down a path of saying, if someone had owed $50 and someone owed $2,000 and both debts were forgiven, who would be more grateful? Well, the person who owed $2,000 would have been more grateful. And Jesus said, "You have discerned wisely." And then through that, he said, "Because this woman has been forgiven of much," just to kind of bring you up to speed. So watch what it says here, what Paul, the connection now, that was an experience with Jesus. Now we're hearing from the words of Paul, and he's writing to this church in Colossae, and he says, "Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you." It is actually quite difficult to understand forgiveness unless you first and foremost understand you have been forgiven. And the only way that we can function in this is to say my gratitude is not only towards the relationship of now I am going to heaven, and I can say thank you, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but salvation is so much more than the end result of our salvation. Salvation is entrance into heaven, but salvation then, what it does is it then begins to be our directive for how we conduct ourselves the rest of the days that we're here on earth. And that's what Paul is appealing to here to the church in Colossae. That's what he's saying to Philemon. That's what he says beautifully in Ephesians when he starts talking about how families should work together and how this unit can be in a perfect relationship. And here's how each one functions. Is he's saying the first thing that we have to recognize is that we have been forgiven of much. He goes on in verse 14. "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together," and I love this part, "in perfect harmony." Now, if you remember back to October, it's not going to be a test or anything, but we had a beautiful theme that kind of was deposited to us from Pastor Chris Ball when he began to share about some of the differences between unity and harmony. And something that I don't know anything really about is our harmonies. I'm not a harmony person. I recognize them and I admire them and I think they're beautiful, but I don't do harmonies. But when I hear them, you know something special is taking place. You know that somebody skilled is now speaking out. And I love what a harmony can do to something so simple. When you hear a harmony in a song, even if you're not musical at all, you can instantly say, this song has just gone to another level. Sometimes what happens is within a song, they'll sing something in unison, and then for just a moment, they'll go bing, 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 and they'll all be singing something different. And then they bring it back together. And you just sit there as like, what just happened? That was beautiful. And that's exactly what is being referred here to in verse 14, is that everything comes together, not so much in perfect unity, but in perfect harmony. And we as believers, we have to demonstrate the evidence of the transformation that has taken place in our own lives. We have to be able to come to this place of recognizing that what God is doing is my gratitude is not so much on the pearly gates. My gratitude is now I understand better how to function with my neighbor. I know better how to function with the person that I'm with. I can now have a commonality with them because we are together. We have given our lives to Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that, and he comes again. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and there it is, and be thankful. And be thankful. This morning, what I would just love to kind of leave with you is to know that on Friday, this place was an organized zoo, right? As the pastor and we're seeing everything going on, I mean, we come in and we look at it and we say, how long were the Hargers and their team here? I don't know how long you guys were here, but you walked in and I mean, it was all there. There was each table, each one was labeled. There was a piece of paper that was hanging down on the front. Make sure there's this, 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 and this in the box. Then we would bring the boxes, and this is the part that, for me personally, and the way that my personality works, it was a little overwhelming. But Nina was sitting here wonderfully with children all around her feet, and the boxes, pretty soon you couldn't see Nina anymore. Nina was gone. And the boxes were piled up, and what Nina was doing was going back through the boxes and checking each box for the things that were important that they had said, we need to make sure at least this is in the box. And Nina was doing that. While at the speed of light, 5, 7, 8-year-olds were just going back and forth, grabbing boxes and filling them as fast as they could. And that was kind of fun. I'm sure it made a little bit more work for Nina because some of the boxes maybe didn't have everything in them that they were supposed to. But you see, something that was taking place is that there was an opportunity for each one to play their part and to do something in that evening that results in this. And it was beautiful. And then we had to tear everything down and get things ready for this morning. But that's just a small, isn't that, that's such a small glimpse of what everybody doing something different. How long, I know you, maybe you said it, Sharna, but when did we first start collecting things for this season? We kind of don't really stop, but when did we really? In March, okay. So there we are, we've come all the way from March until now, and I was just telling somebody as we were getting ready, that whole corner, we had a Christmas tree and the Christmas boxes all set up through the spring and the summer, and now that Christmas is upon us, the tree is gone, the boxes are gone. It's like we're done with Christmas, you know. But it's just beautiful to see that each one of you, when you were shopping, you knew that Sharna or one of the other team members said, we need one of these items. Maybe while you're shopping this week, you can grab a few of them. Sometimes you remember the announcement, they'd come up and say, we saw this thing that was on sale. If you go to that store, make sure you go by that aisle, you can grab a couple of these items. Each one, some of you bought some things. You weren't able to make it here on Friday. You bought some things, and they're in these boxes right now. You had interaction with this, and this is a picture of what Paul is crying out to on a spiritual level for Philemon. This is a picture of what Paul is crying out to for the church in Colossae. Is what he's saying is, as believers, we all have a part, and we can work together in perfect harmony. And why? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in perfect, perfect relationship. And they are our example. You as a believer in Jesus Christ can operate the same way. It takes a lot of work. I'm not saying just because you gave your life to Christ, you got to flip a switch and now it's all taken care of. But the reality is that we have this attribute that is available to us. And I'm going to close with these last two verses. Are you ready? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father through him." I wonder if you can kind of hear the appeal that Paul is making. He's saying, as believers, this is how we should function. And it takes work. It's like I said, it's not something that's just a byproduct of Christianity. We are still human. The byproduct is that we would work on it. Not necessarily that we would do it perfectly the first time. But the byproduct is, I am now going to work on this. And I tell you what, it's such a beautiful thing to see the body of Christ come together in unity. We're gonna have some things even happening after the service today. There was some conversations that were taking place. We're getting people going in various directions. But each one is heading towards a goal of being a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ in this season. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. Just even just being here with you this morning and hearing the testimony of these students and all the work that goes into it to make it happen, it is solely for the benefit of that student coming into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that makes the work pale in comparison to what the benefit is. Even though at the time it can be kind of grueling and what we're going through. But we say, God, I know that if there's something like this, when it comes down to like the vans, I know that somebody's going to get touched this weekend because the enemy didn't want them to go. And from what we understand, they did. They got touched. And that was worth it. That was worth all the headache. Let's stand together this morning. I apologize, that was 14 minutes, not 13. But that was something that was just kind of, as we were taking this in, I wanted you to see that Paul had this kind of relationship with the people that he spoke to. And as he was speaking to them, he not only introduced them to Christ, but he fully anticipated that their lives would be different. To the point to where he takes time to write a letter and say, hey, I'm actually the reason, if you want the Phil Taylor translation, I'm actually the reason that you're going to heaven. You're welcome. I expect you to act like someone who has given their life to Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's powerful. And I believe that each one of us can begin to grab on to various aspects of that truth. How am I supposed to respond in this? Can you believe that Thanksgiving is like in 11 days? I mean, how's everybody doing, right? You got your plans, you got your menu. I always ask people, are you the host or are you the visiting family? And you can always tell the difference. I'm the host. Yeah. We're going to grandma's house this year. They don't have to do anything, you know? But you're going to be coming in contact over these next 6 to 8 weeks with people that just need to know what is it like when you've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what our prayer is for you as the leadership here. That's what we're praying as we just get together and get ready for this live nativity. That's what we're believing, is that God is just going to use us in some way. Some of you, it's going to be right around your dinner table. Not that you would like, you know, clear the table off and just begin to have a salvation message. And maybe that's appropriate. Maybe that's what you're going to do. But at the same time, you would be a demonstration of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to pray with you. I want to thank you for just worshiping with us today. It's been wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord together. So, Father, we just come before you today. And I just ask that you would allow each and every one of us to be able to come to a place of God, have I been changed? Is there something within me that is still hanging on to the way that I would have reacted or that I know I would react if I wasn't in a relationship with you? Father, may we take the words of Scripture and have this thankful heart that we have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I know that there's some that these next few weeks, they might be stressful, or maybe it's their perfect time. They're just the social butterfly. This is what they live for. God, whatever spectrum they find themselves on, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just minister and move to each one. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word to us. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.